Welcome into this edition of New Track Record Podcast. Caleb Hatch and Justin Kinney breaking down the last week in IndyCar. Hello, Justin.
Hello, Caleb. How are we doing?
Doing well. It's been a wild week, not only for IndyCar, but, you know, business.
We were just talking about your ventures, your stock ventures.
Whopping $20.
Hey.
That I made.
It's the stuff you get excited about. I mean, I dropped last night watching. I wasn't even watching. I was on a betting app, saw Creighton down 16 at Seton Hall, ranked Creighton team, early second half. Sure, at plus 1050, I'll put $4 on it. Took home close to 50. These are the wins in our lives. 50 bucks, 20 bucks betting stocks. We're not making thousands of dollars here. We can't handle it emotionally.
We're regular Joes.
We are very much regular Joes. Get excited about, you know, what is not very much money. But to us, it is.
You know who's not a regular Joe?
Anybody in IndyCar, mostly?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I was going to say James Hinchcliffe. We'll start there.
Yes, let's
what
do
a,
it.
What a segue, as they say in the business. But James Hinchcliffe announced a full season ride at Andretti Autosport. 10 of those races sponsored by Genesis. I think we all can assume the other sponsor will be Capstone, because they're doing their driver announcement that they teased on, what, February 18th coming up. So I would assume they're the other sponsor.
Yeah, what are you waiting for at this point?
since he tested with the livery. Well, I guess technically that was Marco doing the laps, but it's Hinch's car. No surprise there. So running down, or it could be Nintendo. I don't know if you saw him do
an ad
on social media. Hinch did a Nintendo ad for like Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
It's a good game.
That's on Switch, right?
No, the Deluxe. Yes, it is on the Switch. I'm sorry.
Mario I play Kart, that. It's fun.
Mario Kart 8 was on the Wii U, and then they just upgraded it for the Switch.
Well, James Hinchcliffe set with Genesis again for 10 races. And those 10 races would be Barber, St. Pete, Texas, race 1, the 500, Belle Isle, races 1 and 2, Road America, the IMS road course, you know, the August version of that, the racetrack formerly known as Gateway, and Laguna Seca. Surprised Long Beach not on there, but those are the 10 races. I would assume Capstone is the sponsor for the rest. This is not a surprising announcement. We're all waiting for it. I think it's just kind of a relief that it's done and out there.
Well, I think, you know, your opinion first is when you start hearing about it, cool. Then when you stop hearing about it or the announcement isn't coming, then you start worrying, is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? So, yeah, relief more than anything to have Hinch back in the car full time, where he belongs, with Andretti Autosport, with a competitive car. Excited to have him back on the grid full time. Let's see if he can boost Andretti Autosport to give them, you know, maybe three bullets in the gun every weekend. Can Hinch find that consistency?
I think you mean four bullets.
Yes, four bullets. If we're including everybody, yes, in contention. So we feel Andretti Autosport can have a much better year than a year ago. And I think they have the best drivers that they could get in the seats.
I would agree. And we talked a lot about it last season as far as did they overextend themselves with five full-time cars. And here they are in 2021 with four full-time guys. They got the lineup, I think, that they want. They'll have a fifth car for Marco for the 500. And according to Speed Sport, doesn't sound like we'll see Marco anywhere else in 2021. I don't think that's a big surprise. But this lineup sets them up. I mean, this is the best lineup they've had in years.
Absolutely. I really feel like this is a year that Ryan Hunter-Reay, I don't want to say rejuvenated, but maybe feels like this is the last shot. as a full-timer, and I'm going to make the most of it. And a guy that maybe in previous years would hold back a little bit, not making this move or not trying this or that, I think he's going for it this year. I think he knows it could potentially be his last go-around. So I expect a bit more locked-in Ryan Hunter-Reay. I expect a more consistent Alexander Rossi, particularly early in the year. And not saying that's on Rossi entirely, but the team. And then, of course, Colton Herta. And I think James Hinchcliffe is going to be hungry being back in the seat full time. So I see a lot of positivity with Andretti Autosport with this lineup.
Okay. Over under 1.5 number of Andretti drivers winning a race in 2021.
Over.
I would agree. Over. I think we'll see two.
Yeah, I'm seeing. I mean, Herta, Rossi are the easy two, right? And I think you could say the other two wouldn't be shocked to pick up a win here or there.
I would agree. I think two is safe. Three is very possible. I mean, it could be all four.
I mean, I would set the line if I was an odds maker at 2.5.
I think that's more fair.
And I don't know where I'd go at 2.5. I think there's money to be made if you take the over.
Elsewhere in silly season news, and this was a surprise, we'd seen the name thrown out there by different publications of Ed Jones linked to the Dale Coyne Racing ride, but he was one of a list of names. In fact, one of about 100 drivers that Dale Coyne reportedly talked to, he said in the press conference earlier this week, for the number 18 Sealmaster Vassar Sullivan car partnered with Dale Coyne Racing. And instead, it ends up in the hands of Ed Jones. So, don't think I saw this coming. I think we all expected this to be Romain Grosjean for the primary car. And yet, here we are with Ed Jones. And good for him. He's only, 25 years old? He gets another opportunity in IndyCar to kind of prove himself after a struggle in his last outing with Ed Carpenter Racing. Running Roden Streets and then the 500 in 2019. So good for him, and it's a second chance.
Second chance with Dale Coyne Racing. I felt like he was pretty solid in 2017 as a rookie with Coyne. Of course, that podium at the 500 was huge. It just, he faded late in the season. Same thing when he was with Ganassi. I felt like he was in good shape midway through the season in 2018, and then he just kind of fell off the latter part of that year and just never really looked comfortable in the road and street courses in Indy with Carpenter. He was a non-factor. I don't know if he just couldn't find the rhythm or what, but I think he showed enough flashes in 17 and 18 that he deserved another shot. And I think Coyne felt the same way. I think with Sealmaster on board, you have to feel that wasn't a seat where you had to bring an exorbitant amount of money. And Dale Coyne maybe going for the guy that he feels gives him the best shot to win week in and week out, or at least be competitive, as opposed to maybe a guy bringing a check. I think that's for the second car.
Yeah, so car number two, which I think is what everyone is interested in at the moment, and a few things to run down as far as some quotes and notes from the press conference earlier this week. First off, Dale Coyne says announcement on the 19 car is set to come next week, and it's presumed to be Romain Grosjean, that from Jenna Fryer. Also, Nathan Brown of the Indy Star tweeting, Coyne has used the singular of driver to describe the teammate or teammates for Ed this season multiple times on this call. Take that for whatever it's worth.
So what are we thinking now? Do we think Romain Grosjean in the seats for the road and street courses, and then is it Charlie Kimball?
Well, there are multiple things out there. So first off, from Robin Miller's Racer.com mailbag, Robin saying Grosjean should be confirmed at Coyne any day. I think Charlie may end up running Indy for AJ and Larry Foyt. Connor to run Texas and Gateway for Carlin. Not sure about Ray Hall's third car plans, other than I think Robbie Buell remains interested. We mentioned, I believe, that last week, depending on the pandemic and attendance levels. And then Brian Herta wants to run the 98, but I imagine it depends on how many races Marco wants to do. Well, if it's only the 500, I'm not sure how that impacts things. Then you get to a different racer article by Marshall Pruitt on prospects for the 19 car, because we're saying 19 specifically because there's the whole deal with the 51 Rick Ware Racing car, which we assume is linked to Coyne, but at this point, Who knows?
Maybe.
But with the update there, with a strong likelihood of having two rookie teammates and ex-Formula 1 driver Romain Grosjean in 2019 Asian Le Mans Series LMP2 amateur, it's AM, so what is that, amateur? I'm not sure. Champion Cody Ware. So Cody Ware is the guy who tested the Rick Ware Racing 51 IndyCar at Sebring the other week. So Pruitt says that would they would be in Quinn's sister entry. So that's that there.
What do you feel we stand here? I mean, do you feel obviously Ed Jones is in the seat, Grosjean in the other seat, and then the 51 as a satellite team or an loose affiliation with Coin? I mean, 2 weeks ago, we were recording when Rick Ware Racing...
That was last week.
Last week.
Yeah.
Puts out the tweet full-time, then takes it down, and then when we're done, it was back up. A little bit changed, but the basics were still the same. We have... Was it Pietro Fittipaldi cryptically taking a picture with a 51 sign?
Yeah, and he said good morning in Portuguese. Which, to be fair, that's the number he ran in F1.
Right. I'm beginning to think that is going to be a separate entry. Now, it could be affiliated with Coin, but I feel like the events of the last couple days with Ed Jones getting that seat, I feel like it's Grosjean in the seat, maybe a couple, a driver in place for the ovals, and the 51 being a completely different entry.
Yeah, well, you go to a different article, motorsport.com, Luke Smith, who, longtime F1 writer, saying, these are very specific quotes, and that's why I'm pointing them out. Luke Smith writing, in a press conference announcing Jones, team owner Coin said he hoped to, quote, announce our other driver next week, end quote, in the number 19 entry. And then when he's asked about talks with Grosjean, Coin mentioned the list of 100 drivers, but then he said about Grosjean, Romain is obviously a good driver. We'd love to have him. And Coin said we're working on a few other ones as well. Again, they hope to make the announcement next week and then start testing. So that's where we're at. As far as the quotes on Grosjean. And then there's a different article that came out in Auto Week in an interview that Grosjean had with French newspaper. I'm going to butcher this. L'Equipe?
Yes.
Saying that he kind of talks around it, but he says, there are things I will never do, like an IndyCar, which is not a bad option for me. I will not race on ovals, not even in the Indy 500. At least not this year.
Yeah, he added that, right?
But I don't know what the future holds.
he's so definite
circles.
And then noncommittal, right?
Yeah.
I'll never do this, at least for now.
And we kind of thought that would be the case, didn't we? I mean, we thought, okay, he'll probably avoid the Indy 500 this year, and then he'll change his mind.
Yeah, and then, you know, after he races the Grand Prix, and I know that's extremely short notice, but like, yeah, you know, everybody else is sticking around, you know, car configuration. Yeah, you know, I'll go out for a practice, and then, hey, this isn't too bad. I mean, I could definitely see that happening. But I do feel that Romain Grosjean will still be in the seat, and it sounds from everything we've read that he's bringing a hefty amount of money. I just don't see Dale Coyne turning that down, not putting him in a seat when he's bringing upwards of $3 million.
Yeah, that's the rumor is the $3 million, and I forget where I saw a tweet on that. But what's weird is Coin is so specific about the 19 car. So are they not associated at all with Rick Ware Racing? Is that a partnership they're only doing for the 500 and the rest of the season's full time? It's very confusing.
It's very baffling is what we're seeing. I mean, the history of the 51 is what? It was just a 1 year thing last year with Rick Ware Racing and Dale Coin.
And James Davison was the driver.
With James Davison.
Davison would make more sense to be the oval driver in the 19 car than Cody Ware, which wouldn't that have to be the 51 car? Because that's what one of the other racer articles mentions. It was Cody Ware along with Grosjean, which that would make sense if it was the 51 car. And then you mentioned Pietro Fittipaldi. He's nowhere in any of these discussions, which I think he would make sense to be in the 51, Grosjean in the 19. Do they run a three-car full-time team? I mean, that's my guess.
That just, yeah, it just seems like a lot for Dale Coyne to take on, especially when they're not referring to multiple cars, or they're saying, we're going to allow Rick to announce this on his own. We're just going to be coy. We're not going to mention multiple cars. We're going to say one. So maybe that's the long game they're playing. I don't know.
Maybe they're doing a technical partnership like we've seen for other teams in the past. You know, like Meyer-Shank had a partnership within Schmidt-Peterson and then Andretti, or Harding, Steinbrenner having the partnership with Andretti. And maybe it's a partnership where they get, you know, they share the data and they're in the meetings and everything together, but the team is still just Rick Ware Racing.
Yep. I mean,
that's my guess, and that's how they get to three.
We initially thought, okay, it's just going to be the second car at Coyne, and I think we were quick to think that because it made the most sense, but I don't think that's a reality.
So that's...
And it's an extra entry then. So we're adding a car and a new team.
Especially because didn't we... Well, we lost an entry with Andretti not running, you know, Marco full-time. So that makes up for the gap. And then we all assume that Max Chilton will be in the Carlin car. And we heard the rumor about Connor running the ovals again for Carlin, you know, all two. Because it just... Or, well, I guess it'd be three. Two Texas races and Gateway. So it's not like a big schedule.
Right.
I don't know. What do you think about this 51 thing? Do you think we see it happen? To me, it seems...
Yes.
There's scuttle about it, but it's almost like it seems like one of those vaporware things that...
Maybe. I just think there's a lot of smoke here. I mean, it's not just, a team appearing and just tweeting about something. There's this actual concrete evidence that something's going on. I do feel now maybe Rick Ware Racing ends up not running the full season. Maybe they do a handful of races, including the 500. I could see that, but I definitely think that this is going to come to fruition in some form for 2021.
The other thing we need to get to before we get to the mailbag, which will be full of Peacock discussion.
Right.
The other thing is IndyCar Pushback, the season opener, another week for Barber. It'll now be on April 18th.
Literally happened like 15 minutes after we ended the show last week.
And they will then have Indy Lights move back to then, obviously. And the race will be on NBC. So one of nine races on NBC. So that's positive. And also, someone tweeted at Nathan Brown, it'll also make it so IndyCar is not up against the Masters.
That always helps.
That'll help quite a bit.
Yeah. And every little bit helps when it comes to IndyCar ratings.
And assuming, you know, the Masters runs as scheduled for that, because who knows at this point?
These are unprecedented times.
Oh, there you go.
There we go.
There you go.
Ding.
Ding. Yeah, we need a bell. You worked it in. You beat me, too.
I did. Well, you right off the bat last week.
Well, I had to, you know, defend the call there. Or defend, I don't know what I'm really defending, but, you know, protect this house or whatever.
Yes, there you go.
All right. Well, if you agree or disagree with our picks on Coyne and what's going to happen with the 19, the 51, we'd love for you to let us know. You can find us at newtrackrecordpodcast.com. While you're there, please subscribe to our weekly emails so you never miss an episode. And you can find us on many different podcasting platforms. I'll tell you about that in a second. But first, on social media, our Twitter handle, IndyCar Podcast. Facebook, like us at New Track Record. You can message us on there. And then also, you can send us an email, newtrackrecordpodcast@gmail.com. Now, on the podcast side, Apple Podcasts, subscribe there. Spotify, Overcast, CastBox, Player FM. We're also on Podchaser, which I discovered, I think, this
really?
Week. Yeah. I had not heard of it until this
Never
week.
Never heard of such a thing.
But we're there. iHeart as well, 1380thefan.com, and episodes posted on the weekends at WOWO.com. Time now for the mailbag. We have a lot to get to.
Let's do it.
Let's start going back to last week, and it's a lot of talk about Peacock, and that's where
for
we
some
began.
Reason why people were so freaking out about this.
So I posted a poll: where will you watch IndyCar on TV in 2022? So again, before we get started, 2021 IndyCar is only on NBC, and NBCSN. NBCSN is shutting down at the end of 2021. So in case you're living under a rock, we're not aware that's coming. But IndyCar will be on Peacock as far as practice, qualifying, you know, stream, and then full races like replays posted on Peacock, which is $4.99 a month for the platform that you want. There's a free version, which I've used. There's the paid version, which is like the premium. Then there's like, what is it, Ultimate?
Yeah, which there's no commercials and all that stuff. So, yeah, like yesterday I just realized I can erase my NBC Sports app because I don't use it for anything other than to get access to gold.
Ooh.
Don't need it.
Ooh.
Yeah,
I just
do that
realized
right
that
now.
Too. I'm,
you,
I'm
get some
doing that right now.
Added space on your phone. So, folks, the majority of you listening are intelligent enough, I know, I trust in our listeners, that know this is good. It's a good thing. You're saving money.
At least for 2021, we know it's a good thing. 2022,
well, yeah.
We don't know moving forward.
Well, all I'm saying is, you know, this is the way things are going. Be blessed that IndyCar even has a presence on 9 network races, considering how low the ratings are. That's a lot of races on
That's
network.
More than half the season.
Yes. And just realize that streaming is the future. Now, the future may not be next year, but it's coming. And so this is basically gold at a cheaper rate because you can pay by the month and then end it at the end of the season.
So $5 a month, let's say you, well, as of right now, you need it for April, but who knows? So
right.
April, May, June, July, August, September. So that's 6 months times five. That's $30.
Maybe October, if things yeah. get pushed back, you're talking yeah. $35
and
plus
you can,
tax.
And if you wait, you can probably hold because April, those may get moved again.
Right. I don't understand why this is such a big deal.
I think a lot of people are freaking out for 2022, which I get that. But for 2021, nothing's literally going to change. Now, for 2022, we don't know because the TV contract is up. And I think that's where things get a little dicey.
Well, what's hilarious to me are the people that are saying, well, obviously NBC is not the great deal. They're putting IndyCar on stream. So IndyCar needs to go find another partner. Folks, there's no other partner out there that will give IndyCar the amount of airtime that NBC does, particularly on big NBC. You tried it at ESPN. You'll be lucky to be on ESPN News half the time. Is that still a thing?
Yeah,
ESPN
it is.
News? See, that's how much I pay attention. You'll probably end up on a stream on ESPN. You'll be on ESPN 3, basically. So maybe a handful of races, including the 500 on ABC. But they don't want you. They got rid of you. They left. You left. They didn't care. CBS couldn't care less. Now, they have the series, the Tony Stewart series. Maybe that, you know, they're putting that night, you know, Saturday nights, which is crazy to me for CBS, but they're going to give it a shot. But, you know, CBS isn't the home. You'd probably end up on CBS Sports Network, which is about the same thing as NBC.
They're not even rated by Nielsen, CBS Sports Network. That's
really
bad.
Really?
Yeah.
So, you know, so Fox, that's not going to happen. Fox is too busy with NASCAR and wrestling. They had a lot going on with wrestling.
Oh, Peacock. Well, USA has wrestling now, too.
Yeah. So, and Peacock just got like the WWE.
Yeah.
Something like that. Like paid a crap ton of money for that. So, look, long story short, you have no other major network that cares about IndyCar racing. So, you have NBC. They've been a great partner. They're going above and beyond, in my opinion, for IndyCar, considering where the ratings are. And you know what? If this becomes an all-stream series at some point, then IndyCar fans have nobody to blame but themselves because not enough people watched. And you know what? If there's not enough fans to be on TV, then it is what it is. Networks got to make money.
Exactly.
So,
well, here's where people think IndyCar will be in 2022 on Twitter. Again, you can follow us, IndyCar Podcast, the handle. 81% said NBC/USA, which is taking over NBCSN. And John Orand of Sports Business Journal pointed out that USA is in about, what is it, 86.2 million homes versus NBCSN's approximate 80 million. So it's actually a bump up
in, up
availability.
And look, you know, we talked about it, Caleb, because in the fine print when this announcement came out, it said NASCAR was moving, NHL was moving, Premier League was moving. All three of those leagues have contracts with NBC for 2022 and beyond. IndyCar right now does not. So NBC is not going to mention an entity moving to USA that they technically do not have for 2022. So
correct.
At first, you and I were a little bit wary. Oh, crap, they didn't mention IndyCar. They're not going to mention IndyCar because as of right now, IndyCar and NBC do not have a relationship going past this year. So once that contract is worked out, which I feel there's no reason to think it's not, I think putting nine races on network shows the confidence that NBC has in IndyCar. In my opinion, it's a little misplaced, but NBC is still committed to IndyCar. They'll get a deal done. The races that are not on NBC will be on USA next year, and Peacock will just be that place to that NBC Sports Gold was for a cheaper rate if you do it monthly.
That's, I think, a best case scenario. So, finishing the poll, 13% said ABC, ESPN, and I think I meant to say ESPN Plus. 3% CBS, CBS Sports, again, throwing CBS All Access. 3% Fox, FS1, FS2, again, throwing Fox Sports Go as far as the streaming platforms. And then, of course, a ton of replies to this. Nichardson Roa said YouTube.com. I don't think so. It's too soon.
No, it's free. Why would they do that?
I mean,
YouTube TV. I mean, it's not going to be on YouTube.
Chucky WX says hopefully pay-per-view. R. Cole said DirecTV HD. That's a direct reference to last week.
I see what you did there.
Hickey 93 says, LOL, if it's on Peacock, I'm finding a different method to watch.
But why? What's the difference between, or is he talking races?
I think he's talking races.
But what's the difference between NBCSN and Peacock is my question for folks. NBC
paying,
Sports Gold.
You're paying for either a streaming service, you know, or cable to watch the race, or you can pay $5 a month. And it probably, the thing they need to get changed is the new TV deal needs to have a way for IndyCar to stream the races live and pay a premium cost. Like you pay $10 a month instead of $5 or something.
And then I feel like that could be a priority for IndyCar to make sure. And I don't think why Peacock would object to that because they want to get more viewers onto Peacock. Right. So I feel like NBC was like, yeah, we're going to simulcast the races on air and on the app. I think that makes sense.
Well, like MotoGP, I don't know if they still do this. I think they do. And then F1 tried to do something similar. You pay for a season pass where you get every practice, qualifying, every race, streaming live, and you pay like $100 for a season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and IndyCar instead has farmed that out to TV partners. And granted, you have to have the capability, and you know it's a lot of work on the back end for IndyCar to do that, but they've always farmed it out outside of when they did the free YouTube for practice and qualifying.
Which was a big mistake because now everybody expects it, right?
Exactly. But they could do a season pass for, you know, say you get the month of May for $50 or something, and then you can do the whole season for $100.
I mean, just pay the money, folks. If you want to support IndyCar, pay the money. Cut the cord.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking, you know, really, to be honest, NBCSN was the one of the few reasons why I still have cable because I had no alternative, right? But now all of a sudden, if Peacock is going to allow me to watch live racing, potentially, we don't know if that's going to be the case or not, whether it's simulcast on USA or NBC as well as the app, I have no reason to have cable, really.
And for English Premier League, they had matches on Peacock, you know, before. They've been doing that for months, and they're live. So I would think that that will be an option.
And look at the ratings. More people watch Premier League soccer
than a lot
IndyCar.
More.
Okay? So get off the high horse. Realize you're the fan of a niche sport that does not bring a butt ton of viewers into a network, which then does not bring a butt ton of money into a network, and just pay the small fee to watch the racing you love, because not enough people are watching, and that's why all of this is happening. So you protesting by not paying the money or not watching anymore is hurting the sport further. That's why we're in this position, because not enough people are watching.
Well, and people are complaining. It's like, it's $30. It's literally like general admission for most races. It's not that much money.
It's wild. I mean, I don't understand it. I feel like it comes down to change. People don't like change. And older IndyCar fans definitely do not like change. Because we still want to talk about the days of innovation and all that. And, we can't go a week in the mailbag without somebody asking what it's going to take to bring back innovation to Indianapolis and all this stuff.
Or Cleveland or Milwaukee or Michigan.
We've all been down that road. And everybody,
Montana.
Everybody who read the mailbag this week knew exactly the kind of reactions that people were going to give Robin Miller in his mailbag, because of the exactly type of people that read it and write in are the people that hate change and wish it was the glory days again. And, well, I remember when I could just turn on the TV and watch. Well, look, times have changed.
Also, you couldn't do that back in the 90s. They had a few races on ABC, but most of them were on ESPN. Or even more on ESPN2.
I mean, just be lucky that all the races you can watch now are live.
Yeah.
I mean, there are series where you cannot watch live racing. You're watching tape delay, unless you're paying a crap ton more money than $5 a month. Tell you what.
This from Jamin Tuttle via Facebook. Love the return of Ed Jones. Always felt like he had the potential left unfulfilled. The car counts seem to be 24 full-time, another 12 in Indy Lights, which is awesome. How do you guys feel about Peacock? I realize 2022 and beyond could have questions about where we watch, but for 2020, I get my usual IndyCar I got with NBC Gold, plus other sports, movies, and TV for $49, $5 less than Gold. I think he means for 2021.
Yeah,
I'm good with that. Hopefully the Winers will actually look at this before jumping from the Pagoda.
Look, I mean, it comes down to your investment in a particular sport or any interest in your life. Is it worth the time and the financial commitment to it? To me, my love of IndyCar is bigger than the cost it's going to for me, watch the racing. I don't care about the cost. But if you have to compare it and look at it and say, what's more important, me watching IndyCar or saving a few bucks? If saving a few bucks is more important, that's your right. For sure. But I think that's the question everybody needs to ask that's complaining. And let's be honest, the majority of people that are complaining are end up going to pay for whatever they need to watch the races anyway.
Well, yeah. So this actually dovetails perfectly into the next poll. Do you plan to subscribe to Peacock for IndyCar streaming coverage? 80% said yes. 20% said no. And a lot of responses here. Poet Shevchenko, if I didn't already have it on Xfinity, it would be yes. Again, yeah. If you have Xfinity, you already have it. NK Harden says, I've said it before, but they need to invent something where you can bundle all the channels from each of these networks and pay one bill instead of a bunch of small bills, maybe call it cable or something. And then he adds, in all seriousness, I already subscribed so I can watch The Office. Much happier to do this versus Gold. Much easier to pitch to the wife, let's pay $5 a month for The Office versus $50 for IndyCar practice and Indy Lights races.
Yeah,
yeah,
see?
True.
That's a lot of us have to deal with, the wife or the significant other that you have to spin this to. But look, I understand the frustrations as somebody that has on at home on his Fire Stick Netflix. I don't pay for all these, but I pay for a fair amount of them. Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, Disney Plus, and now I'm adding Peacock. I haven't paid for Peacock yet, but I did the free. I dabbled with the free.
You have ESPN Plus?
I have ESPN Plus, which came in a bundle with my Disney Plus and Hulu. That's kind of where you're at right now. Everybody is making a play for the streaming service, for a stream. That's where they see the future of their money-making going.
Which is funny, because if you just got cable, you get all that stuff anyway.
Well, I mean, but look at the Netflix. There's so many shows
with
on there
the exception of, I guess, like Netflix and
Prime. But that's the original programming. So that's the next step in this fight, is everybody coming up with their own programming. So mm-hmm. Hulu, man, if there's a show you want to watch on there, you're going to have to get the app, right? Or you're going to have to get the streaming service. Disney Plus is going all in with Star Wars and Marvel. to entice you to get Disney Plus. Amazon Prime is pumping out. You know, they paid big money for the Lord of the Rings prequel or whatever it's going to be that they're making. Now you see Peacock coming out. They get The Office, which is a huge thing, right? I think you can watch the first two seasons free and then you have to pay or something like that.
I believe that's right.
But they're coming out with original content. I mean, CBS All Access has done the same thing, which is now Paramount Plus. I think they're changing the name.
But don't forget Discovery Plus.
Discovery Plus, too. But see, everybody is doing it, and you have to add content on those streaming services to make people willing to pay for it. So if NBC looks at IndyCar and says that is an entity that maybe it's just a couple races in 2022. Maybe it's all the races that aren't on NBC. But if they can get people to have to pay for that service, and granted, it's $5 a month, folks. You can cut the cord and still watch IndyCar for much, much less money than your cable bill. Then they win. And that's the future. And unfortunately, some people don't see it and just want to complain.
I'm just holding out for Spike TV Plus.
Ooh, Spike TV. What was the game show network channel? Or the game?
Well, there's
the game show network.
Yeah.
But what was that gaming channel? That was where Olivia Munn got her start.
There
G4
was
G4.
Yeah.
G4.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was on that show where they, I don't know, they reviewed games or whatever.
That's where she got her start.
Well, that's the first time I saw her.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, there are a lot more comments on Peacock, so we'll run down score.
All right, what do we got?
Elaine to Cat 99, no options, but if these guys really think this whole all your favorite shows from Just Our Family Networks thing is going to be a viable business model going forward, they got another thing coming. I will pay only for the months IndyCar is available and not otherwise. But again, you can do that.
That's your right, and I think that's smart. I mean, absolutely.
Scuba Steve 85, already have it, so yes.
Here's the question, too, with that previous poster, too.
Uh-huh.
I can guarantee you. Well, maybe not guarantee, but I feel pretty favorable that over the course of the 5 or 6 month season, whatever we have, he'll watch something else on Peacock. And that's the point. You get on there, you're only getting it for one thing, then you find something else, then you find something else, then you find something else, then you're just like, okay, I'm going to pay the $5 a month. That's what they want you to do.
Well, she will watch something else. Yes.
They want to get you in the door. She'll go in and say, I'm only here for IndyCar. And then all of a sudden, she sees something and something else and something else. That's how they get you.
The Roth says, yes, happy to have the content, and $60 is one-tenth of what I budget just for a usual month of May. Rich Energy and Klaus Dollar is an expensive way to keep going all month. That's the new sponsor, non-alcoholic German beer sponsor for Alexander Rossi. R. Cole says, I already used my free trial Peacock, binged on Yellowstone, but my wife said we can keep it for IndyCar season. M. Vanny says, answer no, because, and then Canadian flag emoji. Yeah, that's a separate issue that IndyCar's got to work on.
What's that?
He's Canadian, so he can't watch Peacock.
Yeah, that's rough.
And then...
but they couldn't watch last year, because they are
Well, they have a
limited.
Separate thing. They have like that, like, not TSN, it's the other competitor.
CSN?
No. Is it Rogers? Yeah, it's Sportsnet Plus, and then it was such a mess.
That's right.
Indy Nathan says, I already have it with Xfinity, so it's actually going to save money since I was an NBC Gold subscriber. See, and I think that's the case for a lot of people.
I'm just surprised somebody still has Xfinity.
Same.
I've just heard horror stories about the customer service, so maybe I'm just talking to the wrong people.
This from you on the other driver announcement coming, and this is before the Ed Jones news. You said Pietro Fittipaldi in the 51 or John Herb in a fifth Penske.
Still hearing rumors, folks. Now, I don't take anything serious ever, obviously. Hey, I just got an alert on my phone from Disney Plus.
Oh.
The Mighty Ducks game changer. The legacy continues in this new original series streaming March 26th. Tap to watch the trailer. That's how they get you. They pull you in with the Mandalorian, and then I'm like, okay, done watching Mando. But then my son sees all the movies, and now they're coming up with a Mighty Ducks show. That's how they're going to keep you. For sure. You watch.
I think I've watched like a movie on Disney Plus. That's it. I haven't watched the Mandalorian or anything. I'm holding out. It got too popular, so.
It got too popular. So you didn't watch something because it was too popular.
Yeah.
That'll show them.
That's very normal for me. That's why I'm an IndyCar fan. It's not popular.
That's
enough,
true.
So.
It's true. You're not going to be just one of those blind followers.
Yeah.
He's not a sheep, folks.
Yeah. A couple other questions, comments. This from Poet Shevchenko. In light of recent news, are you suspending stock up for certain drivers and teams and only allowing stock down? Yes. we get into the stonks discussion, game stonk.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the markets, buy, sell, trade. I'm running out of meme stock terminology here. But yeah, we're an equal opportunity, stock up, stock down. So I would say stock up Andretti Autosport, stock down. I'm going to go with the Dale Coyne Racing for this week.
Yeah, I would agree.
We all expected that to be Grosjean, and I'll get some more rumors on that in a second. But I think that was a disappointment.
I was very disappointed.
So I hope your shares are doing well, according to the stonks. But one other tweet.
Too stressful for me.
One other tweet, this from NK Harden. I have a complaint. You guys have been so positive lately. What the heck?
I'm sorry. I know.
Yeah. We're waiting for our off-season meltdown story. It hasn't happened yet.
No, not yet. We're still...
I mean, granted, we've been in a pandemic for... like what, 10 months now?
That, it's just the norm now. I mean, it's
at
just
least
kind
as
of,
far as globally outside of China.
Yeah, it's just kind of life, right? I mean, it's sad, but it's just become a part of life. You leave the house, you got to make sure you have your mask, and you just sadly see the numbers rise every day. It's just, unfortunately, it's become the norm.
But we don't have that negative IndyCar off-season story.
We do not. Not yet. But the more they move races back at the start of the season, the more opportunity there is to have that off-season bomb drop.
Like, I was thinking the other day that, you know, remember just a little bit ago, like a few weeks ago, when we're like, oh, the season's going to start March 7th. We were so naive. I'm like, how are we gonna fill all this time? Because it was like, oh, the off season's gonna be so short this time because they race till October 25th, and here we are, March 7th.
Yeah, here we are. Whatever.
At least there's been a steady stream of news.
Yep, absolutely.
Never been lacking.
Majority of it good news.
For sure. All right, so a couple of rumors from IndyCar Deep Throat. Some are positive, some are not.
No
so
negativity
positive.
On this show.
Yeah. Yeah. Telling us, I've heard that Fittipaldi has been set for a few weeks now. Honestly, I don't know much around Grosjean. And then Jimmy Johnson, depending on how he does in the first few races, 4 to 6 races, CGR would consider doing the full season with him. That is positive.
Yeah.
Also, part of the reason Chip brought in Kevin Magnussen is that if one of his drivers, cough, cough, Alex, as in Alex
yes.
Below, doesn't perform well in 2021. Well, he has a replacement for 2022. I think we all kind of see that.
I still feel it's more Marcus Ericsson as the guy in the crosshairs, to be honest.
And I agree to disagree.
Mm, okay. Fair enough.
Continuing on.
Going back to Jimmy Johnson is he's only doing the first two races, right? Because then it's Texas.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So he won't really get in a rhythm until...
After Detroit.
Detroit. He's doing Detroit, right?
Well, yeah, I'm saying after Detroit, he wouldn't like have...
And then I think there's only one race after that he's not doing, would be Gateway.
Correct.
So I don't know. I don't see the rhythm he can get in to get the whole season, unless it's the first two races they like what they see.
That's a good point. IndyCar Deep Throat also telling us, I was just told this morning, so we're recording this Thursday, the 28th of January, 2021. I feel like I'm the like time and temperature. The time is 7:59
downtown
Eastern Standard Time. The temperature is 32 degrees. You ever used to call?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah, I used to call as
all
a
the time. I mean, the power would go out. You had no idea how to reset the clocks.
Like when you try to tell someone who's younger than 30 that you used to call for the time and temperature, they look
understand.
At you like you have like five heads.
Yeah, absolutely. Different world.
Yeah. Anyway, Deep Throat telling us, to be honest, I had no idea about the Ed Jones package with Vassar Sullivan. Saying, I still expect Pietro will be in the other car. So not too high on Grosjean coming. And since we all thought the announcement the other day was Grosjean, kind of makes you wonder if that deal is not happening.
Could it be that the second car is rebranded as a 51?
And but they said the 19, though.
I know, but could that be a bluff? I don't know. I don't know what to think here.
I'm still waiting for TBA to finally get a shot with Coyne.
I mean, we got Coyne saying, wait for the 19. We're going to announce it soon. We got Rick Ware saying, look at us. We did the 51. You have Pietro Fittipaldi taking cryptic photos with the 51 in it. But what about the 19? I don't know what to think right now.
It's all very confusing.
It goes back to if Romain Grosjean is bringing seven figures, there's no way that Dale Coyne's not putting him in a seat. So it's either one or the other. Grosjean's going to be in a seat, or Grosjean isn't bringing that much money.
Or I mean, if the rumor is he's bringing $3 million, I would think he would have been snapped up right away.
That's true. Unless Romain Grosjean is mentally as hem-hawing as he is when he talks about definitely not doing this year, or not interested, although maybe I am type thing. I mean, maybe he's still going back and forth. Who knows? And maybe Dale Coyne was like, look, I'm tired of waiting. Although, when's the last time he was tired of waiting? And he goes right up to race weekend to start the year without knowing.
He hasn't done that in a while.
Yeah, I know. Maybe this is a year.
Maybe it returns soon. Another note on Peacock before we completely move on to other stuff. Indy Lights races will also be on Peacock. So IndyCar practice, warm-up, qualifying, full event replays for 21, and Indy Lights races. Forgot to mention that, but again, that's part of the deal for Peacock. And again, I think we're both positive on it. I get it. We're being too positive, but
we'll try to mix some negativity into this show.
Another positive story.
More positive.
Scott McLaughlin will have PPG for 10 of the 17 races in 2021. I just hope we see the shell car for him, since that's what he ran in supercars.
I'm kind of surprised they haven't.
I thought it'd be shell for more. Hopefully it's shell at least for Indy.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what we should expect.
I would think so. But I'm kind of surprised they didn't step up and maybe just do, you know, a couple of them.
This is from Adam Stern of Sports Business Journal. IndyCar CEO Mark Miles says that while the situation is still fluid and it's really difficult to predict the outcome, he's hoping for at least 50% attendance for the Indy 500 this May. Again, Stern estimating that to be around 150,000 people. Now, how do they determine 50% capacity? Because if it's seating capacity, then your actual attendance is only like 100 to 110,000.
I could see them.
I guess that excludes suites, because that would also have to be managed.
Well, here's the thing. I don't see the snake pit happening.
No, not currently.
No. I mean, I don't think it happens in 2021. There's just no way that they're putting that amount of people in such close proximity. I could say that the infield is closed and it's 50% capacity in the grandstands.
Yeah, I could see
that's how you can control it.
I could see that. I think we expect some sort of limitation on fans if they run the races scheduled, correct?
Yes.
I mean, I do.
Yeah, definitely. So maybe they're just allowing limited camping or something, but I think it's easier just to say, no, the infield is not open.
Yes. And I'm not sure if we got to this tweet last week because I just scrolled past it, but Elite Flight tweeted us, IndyCar can consider itself lucky that the current TV deal ends at the end of this year. They have much more room to negotiate with this news. Yes, they're very lucky as far as NBCSN shutting down, because they can open everything up.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a lot of buyers out there.
And then this from Marshall Pruitt. I don't know if you saw this, Justin. Kind of concerning. If this is true, bring on the negativity, because this will be devastating.
What do we got?
All right. So balance_issues. What a handle. Tweeting at Marshall, am I going to have to buy the dumb Peacock app that costs more if you want to watch The Office but still has ads? That's in reference, you know, to NBCSN shutting down. Marshall saying, as referenced, I've only heard about Peacock replacing NBCSN in 2022.
Not USA?
Yeah. That's how I interpret that.
I mean, it could be. I mean, to me, if you go into 2022 and have 9 network races and 7, 8, if we say we have 17 races, 9 network races, 8 Peacock races, It doesn't bother me. Now, I know older demographics.
It'll bother sponsors.
I mean, yeah, I guess, but you're getting more network races than you did with ESPN. What, you get five or six? Five?
Five.
So I feel like it would balance out, and I feel like Peacock already has, I don't know, north of 20 million subscribers, I think. Or maybe I'm thinking HBO Max, which that's another one I have, by the way, HBO Max.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
a
that's
slippery slope.
How do we forget that one?
Yeah, HBO Max, I do have that one. But that's how they're going to grow it. That's what they're going to grow because it's the future of it, right? You know, talking HBO Max, it sounded like they doubled their subscribers just when Wonder Woman 1984 came out.
That's impressive.
Now, I'm sure there's a fair amount of people that will drop it, but there's also a fair amount of people that, like I said, once they're in the door, they see enough to keep them around. And I think that's why you're looking at the added value for Peacock. If they can bring in IndyCar people to buy Peacock and half of them stay, or a quarter of them stay, that's a quarter of people that otherwise wouldn't have Peacock. That's the mindset. And you just have to understand that, you know, network is still king, but cable and stream are really kind of meshing. Unless you have a Walking Dead or something that, you know, has crazy ratings on cable, I think you're seeing more value on stream if they can get you in as a long-term customer as opposed to, you know, being on cable.
Well, moving on, because I'm getting a Katy Perry song stuck in my head because of all this talk, which is unfortunate.
okay.
if you know, you know. If you don't know, don't ask. this from Nathan Brown of the Indy Star. This going back to Marco. And Michael Andretti says, Marco, this isn't to say Marco won't be back full-time in the future, talking about his decision to scale back, but Michael was the one that pitched the idea that Marco eventually landed on and just focusing on the 500 and possibly a few select other races.
Good for him.
Yeah, I don't think that was a surprise or anything. It makes sense.
I mean, I think we talked about it last week. What's the allure of coming back for Mid-Ohio or Gateway or Toronto or St. Pete? I mean,
Pocono would make sense if they returned there.
Right. But, I mean, he's been there and done that at all these tracks other than Nashville, right? I mean,
true.
What's the allure of coming back and running 13th or 14th? There is none.
Sebastian Bourdais has a new engineer, and it is Justin Taylor. He will be the engineer for the 14 AJ Foyt Racing Chevrolet. He spent time in IMSA. He spent time with the Audi LMP1 Le Mans program. Was J.R. Hildebrand's race engineer in 2017. Then was in IMSA for a couple years. And then was Ed Jones' engineer for the 2019 Indy 500. So some news there. Lee Diffie saying that Townsend Bell himself and Paul Tracy are calling IndyCar for this year. I don't think that's a surprise, but
Nope. Someone
asked on Twitter. Also on Indy Lights news, now I mentioned this, wouldn't be surprised if Nate Aranda is a third driver at Juncos, and he posted video of him testing at Homestead Miami Speedway a few days ago with Juncos. So,
you're so smart.
I don't know. Where there's smoke, there's fire. He tested with them earlier. I knew that.
Yeah.
So it all makes sense. Okay, continuing on the list of drivers who are running the Rolex 24.
Uh-huh.
With IndyCar ties, so we can run through the list. There are quite a few, of course. It starts with Scott Dixon, Juan Pablo Montoya. Then you get down into some of the other categories. You have AJ Allmendinger, who's run IndyCar races. Other active drivers competing, Elio Castroneves, Alexander Rossi, Simon Pagenaud, Jimmy Johnson. Let's see, Colton Herta, Ed Jones. Sure.
Maybe it's easier to Ben Hanley. Yeah, maybe it's easier to name the ones that aren't.
Colton Herta. Oh, I just mentioned him. Let's see. Ryan Briscoe is running IndyCar. I mean, it's a long list of names. There are a lot of names, and Nathan Brown of the Indy Star has a write-up. There's also a write-up that I just kind of skimmed right there on IndyCar.com for coverage of the Rolex 24. Again, this weekend, I'll probably catch a little bit of it here and there, but it's fun to watch, like, in bits and pieces, but
yeah.
I'm not going to sit and watch the whole thing.
It's fun to turn on and see cars on track doing something when we've been without it for so long. And then I realize I really am not sure what's going on. And I turn it.
Did you see this? Tony George stepped down as the IMS Museum Board of Directors chairman.
Really? I think he was kind of maybe the last link from the family to be involved in anything.
Yeah, Rob Dyson is the replacement. He's been on the board since 2011. Noted team owner, driver, and car collector. George served on the board for 35 years, board chair emeritus. So
nice.
That might be the last link. And then speaking of the Speedway, Doug Bowles, JDouglas4 on Twitter, tweeted out a link. They did the Behind the Bricks on the Facebook page for IMS. They talked with Donald Davidson, Takuma Sato as well. I need to check that out, actually. Take a look at what's in that. All right. You ready for some trivia?
Oh, gosh, because we did so well last week.
This time, I have looked at the answer, so I'm not even going to pretend to guess. I think you'll do fairly well. But here we go. This is from Indy Stats.
Okay.
Out of every driver who competed in an IndyCar race in 2020, again, not every race, but just in a race, I'm reiterating that for you.
In a race, so it could be one race.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Which five drivers have completed the most racing miles in their career?
So top five racing miles.
In a career.
Bourdais? Is this just IndyCar?
For IndyCar.
Okay. Bourdais? Kanaan?
Oh, slow down. Bourdais did not compete. Or yeah, no, he did. He did.
What's the question?
So, which five drivers have completed the most racing miles in their career? I assume this is for IndyCar.
Okay. And they raced at least one race last year.
This is IndyCar, IRL, Kart, Champ Car, for clarification.
So Bourdais?
No.
Was not?
Not on the list.
Kanaan?
Yes. He's first.
Okay. Elio?
He's second.
Dixon?
He's third.
Power?
Nope.
I was on a roll. Oh, let me think here. Who's old? Ryan Hunter Ray?
Yep, he's fourth.
Really?
And then fifth. Don't think too hard.
I'm thinking hard.
You're already close to the answer.
Marco?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, so the breakdown, Kanaan, 86,282.8 miles. Elio, 80,408.8 miles.
We're doing tenths of a mile here.
Yeah.
Wow.
Scott Dixon, 77,995.3 miles. Maybe he'll catch Elio this year.
Yeah.
Well, actually, probably not. No, he won't. Ryan Hunter-Reay, 54,995.3. And then Marco, 53,884.2. So, big gap from first to second. Second to third is close.
Yeah, I'll say.
Huge gap to fourth and fifth.
Wow. I didn't do too horrible. I'm surprised Bourdais isn't on there.
Well, let's see. He had Champ Car in what, 2002?
But I guess
three,
he was
four,
at
five,
F1
six,
for a while.
Seven.
For a
yeah,
bit.
They did F1. And then IndyCar, he came back. When did he come back? Was it 2009 or 10? I think it was 9.
Okay.
But he only did like a handful of races before doing full seasons. So.
Yeah.
But that's a interesting trivia question.
Yeah, something we at least sounded smart as opposed to the last couple.
Anything else that we missed?
I don't think so. We talked about DeFerrin and McLaren last week.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think we're all set.
All right, so it's time for Tweets of the Week. We have two. First one from Alexander Rossi. And he just tweeted, has anyone done this yet? And it's a picture of Will Power giving the double bird, but with Bernie's mittens over the double birds.
I missed that one.
Which I thought was amazing. And then the second one from Chip Ganassi Racing, CGR Teams on Twitter. So it turns out that the stock market isn't a store that sells NASCAR stock cars. Very disappointing.
Aw.
Yeah, a little off there, but I thought it was funny.
That's good.
And that's it. So next week, we're supposed to have that second coin driver announcement. Maybe we could have something else.
Maybe. Can we? Will they allow us?
I hope.
Likewise.
Who do you think it's going to be? You think it's Fittipaldi or do you think it's Grosjean?
Oh, God. I'm going to go Grosjean.
I'm going to go Fittipaldi just to counter.
All right. We'll see.
I hope it's Grosjean.
Me too.
I hope it's both. Honestly, I hope both get a ride.
Yeah. I think, you know, at this point, is Fittipaldi in the 51?
I think so.
And Grosjean is in
the 19?
Yeah. That's what I think.
That's a best case scenario.
And I'm sticking to it.
All right. Well, you heard our predictions that are sure to fail. So
yeah, you have to think one of us is going to be right, right?
No, I don't think either of us will be right.
Nope, not happening.
Not that confident. So you've heard our predictions, and you'll hear from us next week and see how we did, assuming the announcements are made. And that's to come next week. Hopefully more silly season news.
Hey, real quick.
Yes.
Real quick, as I just see this from Road and Track, this is looking way into the future, but GM aims to be all electric by 2035.
Ooh.
How does that change their philosophy for the internal combustion engine and competing in IndyCar?
That's really not that far into the future.
That was absolutely not. 14 years?
Yeah.
Let's worry about Peacock first.
Yeah. And third OEMs and international races. And
that's what I'm going to say. It's going to take so long to get a third OEM.
Bumping for the 500.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to take so long to get a third OEM, then we'll go back to two OEMs. We'll get a third, and then somebody will drop out.
Michigan, Milwaukee, Fontana.
All the good stuff.
Pocono.
The apron.
The apron. Having more than one chassis provider.
Yeah, where's innovation? Bring it back.
Yeah. All things to consider.
All the above will be talked about next week.
All right. Well, thanks to Justin Kinney. I am Caleb Hatch. This has been New Track Record Podcast.
Podcasts by Federated Media. Podcasts by Federated Media.